Say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. I want to welcome you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome the visitors who are here with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. It is good to be here again today. It's good to have another day together to worship the Lord, another day to live life and enjoy life and be a part of all that God has for us to be. Lois isn't feeling well the last couple of days, and is not here this morning. I always say that less than half of me is here when she's not here, so hopefully we'll get more than half of a sermon, but we'll let that in the Lord's hands. But yeah, no, it is good to be here and good to be able to worship the Lord together. This morning for message, we'll continue our study in the Ten Commandments. And the commandment we are looking at this morning is maybe, you could maybe say, is one of the more controversial ones of them all as far as how to apply it, what we should do. The commandment we're going to be looking at this morning is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. A couple things that came to my mind as I was studying and pondering on the message for this morning. Thinking of the Ten Commandments as a whole, some would say today that the Ten Commandments are not in effect anymore, that they're void since we live in the New Testament or the New Covenant day. Others would say that the Ten Commandments are important, that God wants us to live holy, God-honoring lives, free from sin, pure and holy before Him. But when it comes to this commandment, this one is not in effect anymore. Yet others would say that God revealed His nature and character to us through the Ten Commandments, and there is something for us in all of them. I was thinking about that as I was pondering on the message for this morning, and I guess one thing that I would say is I would suggest to us this morning that if it was important enough for God to include it in His Ten Commandments, there has to be something of importance for us today. So I trust as we go through the message, we can look at that. It's probably could be a lot longer conversation could be a lot longer interaction, hearing and saying what other people think, but we'll bring the message as the Lord has revealed to us this morning. The title of the message this morning is Rest and Worship. If you haven't already, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservants, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I was thinking a little bit here as I was beginning to study for the message. I think it would be helpful to go back to Genesis 2, there where God, right at the end of creation, when He did rest on the Sabbath day, when He took a day of rest. In Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Maybe I'll start with verse 1. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. So we see that He had finished creation in 6 days as we know it. Everything had been created. And then on verse 2, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day for all His work which He had done, from all His work that He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. I wanted us to think about a couple things there in that verse 3, and we'll be looking at some of that later in the message, but thinking of God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from His work. In the New Testament, all of the Ten Commandments are talked about or expounded on to one extent or another. As you go through the Sermon on the Mount, a lot of the Sermon on the Mount is based on the moral part of the Ten Commandments, and Jesus re-emphasized them and added a different dimension to them of a different variety. But there's not much said about this one. There's a few things that we can glean from in the New Testament, but there's not direct commands that were given specifically connected to this command. I had to think, I think it was Brother Ernie many years ago said that he always felt, or his own conviction, and he always felt that if there wasn't something changed in the New Testament from what was presented in the Old Testament, it still carried through into the New Covenant. So it gives a little bit of thought, even though it's a little bit of difference. In other words, Jesus didn't cancel it out. He didn't specifically expound on it. He didn't cancel it out. So we need to be careful how we look at it and what we do with it. One time somebody had a conversation with Bill Gates, and when billionaire Bill Gates was asked why he didn't believe in God, he said, just in terms of allocation of time resource, religion is not very efficient. There is a lot more we can do on Sunday morning. For many people, worshiping God, it can be just a royal waste of time. And I thought about that as I was studying. I wonder what he'll say when he stands before Jesus, and the thinking of that verse that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But the person that was writing this article, he said, I want to challenge you to take the time to, if you want to use Bill Gates terminology, to waste one day a week and to set aside and rest as God has commanded us to do. When God gives us a command, he is serious about something. Many times through Scripture, we are called to obedience and to surrender to the will of God out of a heart of love. You know, when God spoke, when God, thinking of this as one of the commandments, when God gave us a command, he's serious about something. We need to dig in and understand and realize what he is serious about, or what he has and wants for us. Somebody else said there's a range of views on this commandment. On one end of the spectrum, the Seventh-day Adventists who believe we are wrong for worshiping on today or the first day of the week or Sunday, and we'll talk about that a little more later. On the other end, there are those who treat this day as if it is the same as any other day. Nothing's really special about that day. It's not a thoughtful response, but a neglected reality. For many Americans, there is no debate concerning the fourth commandment. It's something we simply ignore, yet we ignore what we need. We live in busy times, and we all need to understand what God means by a day of rest. You know, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I go, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm not trying to be whatever, but if I'm driving down the road on a Sunday and I see somebody out mowing their yard, I often say the phrase like this, I pity that person, that they don't understand the need to stop from their daily labors and take a day that is set aside to worship and to rest from their daily labors. Part one we want to look at is a holy day to remember. Verse 8 starts out to remember. Many of the commandments start out with thou shalt not. This one starts out with remember. So what do we gain from that? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It starts, you kind of get the idea here that there's something of importance, or don't forget about this. In other words, it's not a direct command that thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, but to remember it. And I think if we gain an understanding of the principle that is behind this command, it'll help us understand why it is phrased and worded as it is, to remember. I believe there are two parts to this command. One is rest and one is worship. The day of rest is for our benefit. I want to look at a verse back in Mark 2, verse 27. It says, and he said unto them, and this is referring to Jesus, when it said, and he said unto them, the rest is in red letters, so it's Jesus speaking. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So we see that it was made for our benefit. Albert Barnes, in his commentary on this verse, says on the verse there in Mark 2, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, for his rest from toil, his rest from the cares and the anxieties of the world, to give an opportunity to call off his attention from his earthly concerns and to direct it to the affairs of eternity. It was a kind provision for man that he might refresh his body by relaxing his labors, that he might have undisturbed time to seek the consolation of worship, to cheer him in the anxieties and sorrows of a troubled world. that he might render to God that homage which is most justly due to him as the creator, preserver, and benefactor and redeemer of the world. End of quote. But that phrase in there, that he might, in other words, referring to mankind, that mankind might render to God that homage. That word homage means honor and respect, which is most justly due to him as creator, preserver, and benefactor and redeemer of the world. Thought a little bit about as I was studying and preparing and came to this part and was pondering on this a little bit. And, you know, if we just worked 7 days a week, yeah, we'd have our personal devotions. Hopefully we all take time for that. But would we really, when would we have time to gather as a collective body for worship and for praise and for honor? When would we have time to come together as a collective body to... And as we, many times this, I think about this more and more as I get older, as I continue to grow in my walk with the Lord, as we gather together for worship and honor and praise, we many times leave with the encouragement and the things that we really need in life to continue on, the encouragement and I'm still drawing a blank for the word that I'm really thinking about, but... Yeah, just the whatever behind you to keep you going for the next several days. I guess what I'm thinking about, that if we just worked 7 days a week and never stopped and gathered together for worship, there would be a lot missing in our lives, I believe, if we really stop and think about that. So we see that God gave us the Sabbath as a time to rest from our normal labor, to focus on worshiping him. Then we see there at the end of verse 8, where it says, the part of the commandment, it says to keep it holy. You know, if it was the part to just remember the Sabbath day, I believe that would just be the rest part. But to keep it holy is to remember it is set aside for God and for him alone. Somebody said it like this: you can make this day holy by setting it aside for God and for worshiping him. Verses 9 and 10 kind of adds a little more to the command here. It says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath, the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservants, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. We see here... I guess one thing I want to point out here, I don't think it's good for us to get legalistic about all of this, and I believe that's what the Pharisees had done, and we'll be looking at maybe a little bit of that here a little bit later on. But on the other side, I also think it would do us well to stop and think about what God's real intent was for this day of rest. You know, God did not rest because he was exhausted. You think about God when he stopped and rested. Do you think God really had to rest? I don't believe he did, because they say that we'll not be sleeping when we're in heaven, that God never gets tired, that he's, this is kind of maybe a little, maybe not the right interpretation, but he's in command 24 hours a day, year round. He's never sleeps, never rests, never gets tired. So by saying all of that, he did not take the day of rest on the seventh day because he was exhausted. But the same for us, neither do we rest because we don't have the strength to work another day. But we stop in order to gain spiritual strength so that we can place our focus and worship on him. The word holy means dedicated or consecrated to God. So we could say this day belongs to God, which we many times in the New Testament is referred to as the Lord's Day, and that's what we would refer to it as today, as of today. Verse in Psalm 99, verse 9, says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship him at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." You know, I had to think a little bit. I remember years ago, I heard somebody make the comment, there was a couple that the husband was not real dedicated to going to church, a family, and the wife made the comment that when she got up on Sunday morning that she would wait to see what her husband said, whether she would start getting ready to go to church. And I want to challenge us this morning that on Sunday morning, there should not be a question, are we going to church today? I understand there's sometimes some other responsibilities that take us other places. There are times whenever somebody is sick that can happen. But on a normal Sunday morning, we should not be having the question at our household, are we going to church today? Or what are we going to do about church today? Thinking a little bit more about the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We laid down, I believe, the foundation for the principle for this command. Now we want to look at what is in it for today. So the question will arise, why do we meet on Sunday for worship instead of Saturday? Why do we set aside Sunday as a day of rest and worship? We'll be looking at maybe answering that question a little bit longer. There is nowhere, I believe, in Scripture that we can point to a direct command that tells us to do this. But everywhere in the New Testament, after Jesus rose from the grave, they always met on the first day of the week. And that is why it is now referred to as the Lord's Day. We want to take time to look at just a few of these verses, just to bring some, attention or clarity to that. But in Acts 20, verse 7, and it says upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech unto midnight. So there we see that it was on the first day of the week when they were all gathered together for worship, and Paul was preaching unto them. But I thought a little bit there about it too in that verse, and this isn't part of it, it's just a little side note, I guess. But it says he preached unto them until midnight. I'm not sure what time the service started, but yeah, I'm sure that we've never had a service that quite lasted like that. But yeah, they were celebrating the Lord's Day. They were gathered together to worship and praise the Lord on the first day of the week. Another verse in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, or gathering together the saints, as some have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. And upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, where there are no gatherings, when I shall come." In other words, it's referring to the gathering together of the saints on the first day of the week, and that is when you come together to give of your offerings to the Lord. But there again, it's bringing out that they were gathering on the first day of the week. So that was why we would gather on the take a day of rest and worship on the first day of the week, as since the Lord rose from the grave, it is now referred to as the Lord's Day. Part two we want to look at is a God-honoring day. One of the things we want to think about as we think about the life of Jesus, there's three things we see that he did on the Sabbath day. As you think of Jesus and his ministry, the things that he did while he was here on this earth, he did works of mercy, works of necessity, and works of the church. I believe you will see those three things pointed out many times. Many times the Pharisees would try to condemn him when he did something that they didn't think he should do. Back in Matthew 12 is one instance of that. I'm not going to read the whole story there, but it's a story of the accounts where Jesus was going through a cornfield, and his disciples were hungry, and he started gathering corn, and the Pharisees saw it and challenged him or jumped him about it. And the other instance was when the man had the withered hand and he healed the man's hand. But in these two times and others, we could look at others as well, but Jesus would respond and let them know why it was okay to do what he was doing. But there's nowhere that you will find in Scripture in the New Testament Jesus would say that you can do anything that you please. But rather he would say, well, we'll look at his one response here in Matthew 12, verses 11 and 12. But he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that have one sheep, if it fall into the pit on a Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift him out?" In other words, if you have a sheep that has gotten caught or fell into a pit or fell into a ditch, you're not going to let it in there and let it die. I remember one time we found a heifer and this was actually on a Sunday, believe it or not, we found a heifer that somehow flipped over a short wall that was there, and she had got stuck. She was laying upside down, just thrashed. She had been there a while, thrashing around. She had the hair wore off of her leg on a couple spots, but If we had just walked away and said, well, it's Sunday, I can't do anything about that, she'd have been dead within a few hours at the least, but for sure by the next day. So that's what Jesus is bringing out here. If you find something like that, you're going to lay hold on it and lift it out. But then listen what else he says. How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it not lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? In other words, he is bringing out to them that it is right and good to do that which needs to be done on the Sabbath day. Someone said it like this in my studies. I came upon this. It said that Jesus didn't come to abolish the Sabbath, but to dig it out from under the mountain of legalistic sediment. I kind of like that comment or quote. You know, there had been so much added to it, so much that to the point that you couldn't even hardly lift a finger on the Sabbath day. But I believe as we understand what what God's real intent was for it, it was given to us, as it says back in Genesis 2, and sanctified for us for a blessing, not a burden. It was given to us to stop and reflect and to honor God and to rest. And thinking about this day of rest, I remember, and this is maybe for Brother Lee Mumal. Some of you here would know him. He'd be Brother Ernie's brother. And I remember at a minister in Richmond one time, he made the comment, if people would take the rest as God intended it, we wouldn't have so many burnt out people. And I thought about that for a little bit. You know, what do we do for rest? Rest is stopping and setting aside everything that draws or let me back up and add maybe a little bit more of this before I go to that quote. So much of our weeks is so busy. Here in America, we're so busy, and we've just seems like we go from one thing to the next. We have this on our plate. We have that on our plate. You get to the end of the day and you stop. You have an evening meal, and hopefully, Lord willing, you have several evenings that are free. But yet in the summer, it's nice out, so there's things you can do. There's other things you can go do, and if you ain't careful, you get so busy, it just feels like after a while, everything is just... I'll just use the word that life can become sometimes a rat race, so to speak. But that is why that God has given us this day to stop and to lay aside and to stop and to worship and ponder on Him. I thought sometime it would be good to maybe do more of a study on what it means when it says that God sanctified it. But I don't think we have time to dig into that, nor did I study or prepare for that part of the aspect as well. Part three we want to look at yet in closing is reverence and respect. A couple questions for us to think about is one, as we ponder on some of this and for each one of us to ask and answer, Lord, how can I honor you and give you the glory that is due to you on this day? And Lord, how can I give you reverence and praise that is due your name? A couple verses thinking about some of that back in Isaiah 58. Verses 13 and 14 says, and if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure in my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places in the earth, and feed them with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, that one verse is maybe a little bit hard to understand. I should have looked it up in a different version, but it's basically saying if you will remember to understand what you really need to be doing on the holy day, on the day that is set aside for worship, and to delight thyself in that holy part of the Lord, in the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places in the earth and continue to be with them as I was with your forefathers. Basically, it was what the end of the verse is saying. In the New Testament, I already referred to this, but instead of being called the Sabbath, it is now referred to as the Lord's Day. So one time somebody walked up to their pastor and said, "What can I do on Sunday? Give me a wallet-sized list of do's and don'ts." The pastor responded and said, "You're asking the wrong person. It's not my day. It's the Lord's day. You need to ask him." I thought that was very good. So thinking of that, what would God have for us to do as we think of the Lord's day and gathering and worshiping him? Sunday should not be a grudging duty, but it should be a joyful privilege. It should be a privilege to stop and to reflect and to worship and honor the Lord. Take time for worship, take time to rejoice, and take time to rest. Take time to ponder on who God is and his greatness and his mercy to us. Take time to understand what God really has for us in life. The last verse there in our text, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." May we continue to give God all the honor and the glory and praise, and may we continue to be faithful in honoring him in what we say and do. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.